Tango Tango Papa 1925, October 11, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from wherever I'm at. I'm in Indiana. Kind of forget the name of the town. Let me ask, see if I can ask Google where I am. Where am I?
Here's a map of New Lisbon.
Okay, so I'm at New Lisbon. Pennsylvania. Indiana. I'd think there for a second. So I'm at New Lisbon, Indiana, and I've stopped here for the night. I'm on my way from Pennsylvania. I just picked a load up. Well, actually, I unloaded in Pennsylvania early yesterday morning. Then I picked a load up at Winchester, Virginia, yesterday evening. And so I'm on my way to deliver to Olney, Illinois, tomorrow afternoon. So if I've got my... these days all end up kind of seeming to run together. So if I've got it right, today's Sunday. So I deliver in Olney, Illinois, tomorrow afternoon. So been kind of busy, of course, the past number of days. Also spending money. In the last podcast, I was talking about, in particular, I'd looked at and kind of been excited by the Microsoft Surface. Microsoft just announced the Surface Pro 4, the new Surfaces, and so I had looked at the existing Surfaces. The Surface 4s aren't out there yet. They're not available. And so I when I was home this last time, I looked in Best Buy and I looked at the Surface 3s. And so the other day when I was in Council Bluffs, Iowa, I had I ended up with about 3 hours to kill while I was waiting on a load to get loaded. And you know, they told me to go back to the truck stop and come back in about 3 hours. So it just so happened that the truck stop there was across the street from Best Buy. So I ended up going into the Best Buy, and without really having the intention to buy anything necessarily, but I did want to look at the Surface, the Microsoft Surface tablets again. And so I had the opportunity, because I had some time to kill, I had the opportunity to, let me reach back here and turn the heat off, it's getting a little warm in here, had the opportunity to kind of play with that for a good 2 hours. They had different models. You have the Microsoft Surface tablet, which is, and most of the tablets in there are still running Windows 8. But, with a free upgrade to Windows 10, but I didn't really, I would rather have the new version already pre-installed. And so that's what I was really looking at. And so they had a... The Microsoft Surface Pro 3, and that's kind of primarily what I was interested in. And so to sort of make a long story short, I ended up buying a Surface Pro 3 with 256 gigabyte micro SD card, or micro SD, 256 gigabyte SSD. Integrated right into it, and it's I think a Intel Core i5 processor, And so it's a pretty powerful machine. And it has Windows 10 pre-installed on it. That's actually what I'm recording the podcast from right now. I did a little bit of research, and I found out that it will run. It is mostly compatible with older software. And so right now I am using Adobe Edition 1.5, which at this point is a 10-year-old piece of software. It's not a new piece of software. And that's one of the problems that I had on the Mac side of things, is that Apple has a tendency to just drop support for, they just make changes, and they end up dropping support for software, and it may just be sometimes the software isn't even that old, and if the developer doesn't keep staying on top developing it, there's a good chance, if it's on the Apple side of things, that if you've got a particular piece of software, or there's a good chance that it's just going to get left behind. And that's what happened with me, because for a number of years I've used that Ubercaster program to record podcasts with, and it worked fine under Snow Leopard, and then whenever the Lion version of OS X came along, that pretty much killed Ubercaster. It just wouldn't work right after that, if at all. And so I ended up going back to Snow Leopard and just kind of sticking with Snow Leopard all this time. And of course, they've had several different versions of the OS. They keep coming out with new versions of OS X. And I've just stuck with Snow Leopard. That's what's still loaded on all of my Macs except one, I wasn't using to record with. So I did update it. I think it's not even updated. That one isn't even updated to the latest version. I just never did get around to it. The El Capitan or whatever. So Apple they have a bad habit of just making radical changes, and the heck with legacy software. They just kind of move on, and they've had a long history of that, and they've had a long history of taking things, popular things, away, things that people actually use. They have a long history of kind of taking that away, just kind of seemingly sometimes out of nowhere. One case in point was a number of years ago, they sold Final Cut Express. And all of a sudden they decided, well, we're not going to update this anymore. That's it. We're just going to drop support for this. No more updates for Final Cut Express. And I had gotten actually fairly proficient with it. And then that's when they radically changed Final Cut Pro, and then they ended up losing a bunch of the professionals that actually used Final Cut, and Adobe was able to really step into the void that was left with Adobe Premiere. But of course, the problem with Adobe Premiere is that's part of the Adobe Creative Suite. And you have to basically rent that software. I don't know if they'll rent just certain programs to you or not, but you're essentially renting the software from them. You pay an annual fee or a monthly fee. And for that Adobe Creative Suite, it's really high-powered, sophisticated software, but it's not cheap. So that's not worth it for me as kind of a casual user. So I kind of got out of editing very much video on the computer. And then kind of in the meantime, the computers kept advancing and they kept getting faster. And of course, Apple loves to continually nudge people to get them to spend more money, massive amounts of more money, and you can tell that they've been very effective at it. You know, they got $200 billion in the bank, is what they say. So they've been obviously extremely effective at nudging people to continue to spend money on a regular basis, and not just little bits of money, but massive amounts of money. They get people to buy a new computer, you know, constantly buy new computers and constantly buy new phones, even though the ones they have are perfectly good. So, I don't know. That really rubs me the wrong way, and so I realize things kind of have to move along, but on the other hand, Microsoft has always done a pretty good job, despite all of their faults. They've always done a pretty good job, and they've had to, of supporting legacy software and hardware, because businesses can't be expected to just upgrade on the drop of a hat. Just because someone says, hey, it's time for everybody to upgrade, and then they just all do it at once. Businesses don't all turn on a dime at the same time, in the same way that Apple users end up doing. And, you know, so Microsoft is really always been cognizant of making sure that older stuff that the newer versions would be compatible with older things. Now, that's created a lot of headaches for them over the years, especially it's created security problems, and those have been, you know, Microsoft has had plenty of security problems with different versions of Windows, and that's one of the things that kind of pushed me away from it a number of years ago. And then, you know, Windows Vista was such a terrible piece of, just a rotten, terrible piece of software, that's when I started moving toward, you know, kind of into the Mac world. And, you know, I got the very first Mac that I bought was a used Mac Mini that wasn't even an Intel processor. It was a PowerPC processor. And I like, you know, the machine was fine. It was pretty low power, but it worked fine. And that was my first introduction into the world of Macs and OS X. And after that, I ended up buying a white plastic MacBook, which I still have, that still works. It was Intel, of course. And then a 2007 MacBook Pro 17-inch, which I still have, and of course that's the one with the broken mouse button. And then a couple of Mac Minis, as well as I've two iPads, two iPod Classics, and one iPod Touch, fourth generation. And most of those things I still have. I gave the iPad 2, the first iPad that I bought, I gave that to my parents, which they still use every day in and day out. They use it. It still works. iPads make great consumption devices. If you're consuming any kind of media, multimedia, reading material, if you're just primarily consuming, they make great consumption devices. But over time, I have a tendency to, and I think a lot of people probably do, have a tendency to want to try to get the most out of something, you know, regardless of what it is. Try to get it to do more than what it was designed to do. A lot of times when people design these devices, they design software that the designers may have an idea of what people might do with the software, but then again, they really don't know. And sometimes that can be just a total surprise. Great case in point would be the people that came up with spreadsheets. Initially, people thought, well, these are just for numbers, and so the idea of a spreadsheet, you'd put your numbers in the cell, and you'd along with different formulas, and it would instantly do the arithmetic for you. Well, what happened? Of course, you can use that, but then people started using spreadsheets, and one of the major uses for spreadsheets has been as a database, because people would put this, you know, make like put different pieces of information that may not even be numbers at all into a spreadsheet, into the cells, and to kind of create tables of things. And that was a major use, and of course the person that invented the spreadsheet had no clue that that would be a major use of the spreadsheet. And so there's plenty of other examples of people using software, in particular people using software programs purposes, I guess, would work for purposes that they hadn't even imagined. So that does happen. But in any case, I ended up getting, you know, this, it's a 12-inch tablet. And I also got with this, I got the Microsoft keyboard. And the keyboard, they had the, since they, Microsoft had announced the Surface Pro 4, which isn't for sale yet, they did, that did kind of cause Best Buy to put these things on sale. Obviously, they want to move these to make room for the new stock whenever they become available. And so I don't remember what the original price was, but I ended up getting this for about $1,200. It was just under $1,200 for the tablet. And the normal price on the keyboard was, I think, $129, I believe. And they happened to have an open box one that someone had returned, apparently. And they had it for $106, and it was in pretty much new condition. And so I... you know, they had one that had never been opened, and then they had this one that had been opened. Well, you know, save the money, and so I got the one for $106, and so that's what I got. And so I've had a couple of days now to play with it, although I've been pretty busy. And I'm pretty impressed with it. This has got Windows 10. This is my first... really encounter with Windows 10. Of course, I've still got machines that I still have a machine that has Windows XP, and I've got a machine at home that actually has Windows Vista that I've talked about before. And actually that machine is a desktop machine at home. I actually use that machine. I always end up using that machine as a, I always do my taxes on it. It's just works fine for that. And I've used it for a few other purposes, but that's one of the primary things that I ended up using it for because one of the main things I did with the Vista machine at home is that's the machine that I used to scan in all the thousands of 35 millimeter negatives that I have. And that's the machine that I ended up scanning most of those in on. And because the $50 scanner that I bought at Walmart would work with XP and Vista only. And so I was able to get that machine and scan all those negatives in with it. So I have still used XP and Vista. I never really did use Windows 7, nor did I ever use Windows 8 or 8.1. I know a lot of people were happy with Windows 7. That came after Vista, and it was, I think Windows 7 was really probably a refinement of Vista. Vista was just it's a terrible piece of software. It's just awful. Really awful. If you've never used it, it's just such a dog. But The people liked Windows 7. As I say, I never did use it. People really disliked Windows 8 because Microsoft changed the interface too much. They tried, to Microsoft's credit, Microsoft needs to have some credit because they saw something happening with the touch interface, and they knew that really was the future of computing. The future of computing really does involve the touch interface. The problem, Microsoft, they didn't get the interface right, and it just really made a lot of people mad as far as the touch interface on Windows 8. It's just, and then I think there were some elements of it that they were confused themselves because they part of the settings were here and part of the settings were there, and it was really confusing. So with Windows 10, Microsoft, I believe, in my opinion, they've really nailed the touch interface. Of course, the start button is back. In Windows 10, in Windows 8, they tried to do away with the start button in the desktop metaphor. But in Windows 10, the start button is back, and they've got there's still a few tiles, but they're kind of reduced, and they've actually put some of those little tiles into the start menu. And then if I pull the tablet off of the keyboard, which is attached with some powerful magnets, if I pull it apart basically, then it automatically switches to tablet mode. Now that's a setting that you can set where it either will switch into more of a tablet mode or not. And I prefer to kind of have it switch to a tablet mode when I disconnect the keyboard, then I want it to go to the tablet mode. I don't have a problem with that. So, and when you reattach the tablet or when you reattach the keyboard, which all you have to do to reattach the keyboard is just get the bottom of the tablet about an inch away from the magnets on the strip on the keyboard, and the thing those are pretty powerful magnets, and it really attaches. You don't have to line anything up or those magnets are powerful enough where it just sucks it right together and it's attached. And so then it becomes a computer. Then it acts like a normal laptop computer. I liked the keyboard. It's easy, nice to type on. They've got full-sized keys, and it makes it nice to type on. And then, of course, there is a touchpad, which is important. It's important to have a touchpad because then you know I've got a mouse. That's one of the problems that I've had with the iPad. The problem with the iPad, as I said before, it's a great consumption device, but then naturally I want to do more with it. And I've done that with every device I've ever had. I want to, what else can I do with this? Can I turn this into something else? And with the iPad, you really can't. You know, I've got a keyboard case for it. The keyboard is attached to the iPad via Bluetooth. The problem with it is that it's not a very good typing experience. It's kind of like typing on a netbook because the keyboard is the same size as the iPad is, and it's smaller. The keys are smaller and it's more cramped, and it's not a very good typing experience. And I've had a problem with the keyboard, the Bluetooth keyboard on the iPad. You hit the key, and sometimes if you're trying to type something, sometimes it just ignores the letters even though you've hit them. And then there's other times when you hit a letter I've hit it once, and I end up with a couple of characters, so it repeats. And I don't know, I've had that problem on both the iPad 2 that I have, that I gave my parents, and then this iPad Air. So I've just really kind of gave up on trying to type much with the with the iPad. And that really ends up limiting the ability to really do some, you know, productive with it. Apart from just consuming media, you can't really create anything on it or write anything on it because it's kind of an unpleasant experience. Then the other problem with the iPad is that of course Apple forbids, and they specifically forbid the use of a mouse with the iPad. The only way you can use an iPad, get an iPad to accept a mouse is to jailbreak the iPad, and then you know, if you got the appropriate jailbreak, then you can maybe find the software that'll make it show the mouse up. I've watched videos on YouTube that people have done that, and it kind of turns it into a little netbook at that point. So Apple specifically forbids the use of a mouse with the iPad. So, because I tried it. I tried pairing a mouse with it, and it says, nope, can't do that. Won't, you know, it even recognized, I even plugged a Microsoft mouse into the USB adapter on the iPad, and it came up as Microsoft mouse, but it comes right up and it pretty much tells you, this isn't going to work, this is not designed to work with the iPad is not designed to work with this hardware, or it may be the other way around. This hardware is not designed to work with the iPad. So, that's a problem, because if you're like on a website, the back end of WordPress is a great example. The back end of WordPress, of course, some of the things you can respond to touch, and touch does not perfectly replicate the function of a mouse. Of course, if you want to type in a field, then you can tap on that field and then maybe start typing. But there's different fields on there that you really need a mouse in order to make them respond well. And there's certain things that you try to do with your fingers that's just too imprecise. And, of course, your fingers kind of blocking the view. Some of the things that you do with your fingers on a touch screen are great. You know, that interface really lends itself to certain things, but then there's other things where you really need a mouse. And so with this Microsoft Surface, I've really got the best of both worlds. I've got the mode I'm using it in right now, I've got the keyboard attached, and I am basically using it as a computer. But it can also function as a tablet, and I've got the touch screen. The other thing with since in the past few years, and a lot of people have had this experience, you've gotten used to using your tablet, and you've gotten used to using your capacitive touch screen phone, and pinching and zooming and being able to touch things on the screen and get a response, and you know, then you find yourself in front of your computer, your non-touch friendly computer, and how many of us have found ourselves reaching up and trying to pinch and zoom or touch on something to select? You can't do that. Of course, it's just, you know, regular computer's not designed to do that. And that's the other thing. Apple has said, you know, they've made fun of Microsoft. Well, you know, they've made fun of Microsoft even recently, saying, well, they don't really know what they're doing because they're trying to combine two different things, and we think that they should be separate. We're Apple. We know best. And so this new iPad Pro that they came out with does not have any kind of mouse. It's if you look at watch their video and look at especially the keyboard, it looks a lot like a Microsoft Surface. Especially the keyboard and the way it attaches. But there is no touchpad. So that's a problem right there. You know, because then it's just going to be kind of like a giant iPad, and you may be able to type on it better since you're going to have a direct connection. Obviously, it's probably going to be a better typing experience, but then you can't, you're still limited to using apps. That's the other problem. Apps are great on smartphones, and tablets, and that's the other limiting factor is that I found, and I've talked about it quite a bit in the past. On the one hand, it's great to have an app because you've got little bits and bobs of the internet that, you know, of a website, let's say. And if the app is well written, then the strength of it is that banking, online banking is a great example. I can log into my online bank account and check the balance or do a transfer from one account to the other or whatever in just a few seconds, whereas it's going to take me a lot longer to do the accomplish the same thing if I actually go to a computer and log on to the website and you know, log in with my username and password and click on this and click on that. Well, I can do it a whole lot faster on my phone. But on the other hand, if I want to really do something productive, then it becomes really difficult to do on a phone or a tablet to try to, like, because, you know, for example, I've recorded podcasts on my phone before. I've recorded podcasts on my iPad. I've recorded podcasts on the Android tablet that I have. I've done that before, and then, but the problem is, it's really causes me to jump through lots of hoops, and it's primarily because of a lot of it has to do with the screen size, the small screen size, and then the other part of it has to do with the lack of a mouse, and trying to post things from, without a mouse, doing certain things, doing everything on an iPad, for example, or an Android device, you know, tagging the MP3 file, making sure that it's got the ID3 tags in it and the picture in it. That's a big problem. And that's something that that's easily accomplished on a computer, but you can do it on a phone, or you can do it on a tablet, or you can do it on an iPad, but it is a real pain in the rear. And so there are certain things that really cry out for real software. So with this Microsoft Surface, I've actually got the ability to really have the best of both worlds. I've got real software that can do very sophisticated, productive things. And I've also got more of the app type experience. And I can even, I found out last, or I guess it was last night, I was watching this video. I can even, there's this program that I can get, and I need to do it. It's called BlueStacks. And it's a Windows, I think you can get it in the Windows Store. And it's BlueStacks, and the idea is that you're running Android probably in like a little virtual machine, and you can even, it's Android, so you can even log into the Google Play Store and have access to all of my apps, make the thing full screen, and basically turn this thing into an Android tablet if I want to. So I'm going to be experimenting with that a little bit later this evening. I didn't have time to do it last night. So that's pretty cool, because there's some things that that those little apps really lend themselves to. And of course, since this is a touchscreen tablet, that'll work perfectly on here. But at the same time, I want a laptop or a regular PC experience, connect the keyboard, which has the integrated touchpad, and I've got a laptop experience. And also, the other thing with this machine, and I haven't plugged anything into it yet, it has a micro SD card slot, and that will accept up to, according to what I read, it would accept up to 128 gigabyte micro SD card, and I can just pop that in there and have even more storage if I want. So pretty sophisticated device. So I'm pretty happy with this. So anyway, I've got a file from Joel that he sent me on Voxer, I guess after he listened to the last podcast, and this was he sent this a few days ago. So let's go ahead and listen to that. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for continuing doing your podcast. You know, I do like listening to podcasts. I can't always watch the YouTube videos, but I have actually started watching a few of them. I'll say this about a couple of things, and you can do a stop start of this. I don't mind. I'm sure you will. The comments you made about the Speed Queen, kind of agree with you. Although I'm starting to look as well. My dryer is my washer and dryer are both hand-me-downs that I've gotten from kind folks. Now I'm thinking about I'm probably gonna be saving up some money and buying a new pair. I do like the traditional vertical. You know, I don't want those horizontal ones. I've heard horror stories about those. Although I don't really care as much about the timer issue as being mechanical or not. Doesn't really matter much to me. We can do mechanical, or we can do whatever. It doesn't really make too much of a difference to me, but I have, as long as it washes clothes. Cars, I'm for the most part in agreement as well, although I don't like to buy cars that are really, really, really old because they tend to need more work. So my next vehicle will probably be newer, probably 2014, 2015. At least, although I don't know. Do not know when that's going to happen. I like my 2012 Cruze; it does a good job. But I do kind of agree with you on the tech on that. And then you made comments about iPads, and you know, probably not going to replace your existing one. And you know, that's not a bad idea. I mean, there's a lot of people that are thinking the same way you are. And I kind of halfway am too. I do kind of like the idea of the new Surface tablets, especially since they just announced the Surface Pro 4 starting at $899, I believe it is, which really sounds compelling. It's got Skylake processors. It's got the Windows 10, but I have upgraded a couple of machines to Windows 10. Here in the house, my wife is still sticking with 8.1. My work laptop still uses 8.1. So that will indicate what we need to do. Going forward, am I going to buy one of those? I have a Dell laptop, too big, really. But the thing that I absolutely need to have working on the Surface Pro is going to be specifically Creative Cloud. So, and I like the idea of the stylus. I need to look more into what other things, what the other specs are. And also, in my personal opinion, one of the biggest problems Microsoft has with the Surface Pros is the fact they don't include the keyboard. I think they should make a step out and include the keyboard. So I'm hoping that I haven't read the whole announcement with the new Surface Pro 4, but I'm going to do that and make sure that I take care of that. So. All right, well, need to talk to you later. I got to get back to work. But keep on doing the show. Do it whenever you want to. I don't care if you don't do it for weeks and you don't, and you finally do one. It's podcasting's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be something that feels like drudge work. And that's it.
All right, well, thank you, Joel. stylus. This did come with a stylus. It didn't, you know, the keyboard was separate. Now, one of the reasons I may be doing the separate keyboard, and I've heard a lot of people make the same observation that, well, they really should include the keyboard because most people are going to buy a keyboard with it. One of the reasons they may make it separate is because then you get a choice of color. They have some different colored keyboards, and I ended up getting it's kind of a blue color. And I would have probably got that color anyway. It was, I think, in Best Buy at that when I bought this, the store I was in there in Council Bluffs, Iowa. At that point, they had blue, and I think they had black, and they may have had the red one. I'm not sure if they had the red, but Microsoft has several different colors, and so you get to choose which color you want. And that may be one of the reasons why they're making it a separate purchase. And then that way, the tablet is the tablet. And then, you know, you don't really, there's no color choice on the tablet itself. But the keyboard, you do get a color choice. So that's probably, I would think, the primary reason why they're making the keyboard separate. Because then if they packaged it with the tablet, that would add all kinds of SKUs, not only for Microsoft to keep track of, but for the stores to keep track of. And with a separate purchase, because most people are going to buy it anyway, but with it being not bundled in a separate purchase, then you get to pick the color. So I was fine with going ahead and buying the keyboard, because I've done it whenever I bought the iPad Air. I bought a keyboard case with it at the same time, Logitech. So, you know, don't have a problem with that particular thing. But it did come with a stylus, and the stylus seems to work pretty well. I just haven't used the stylus. I'm not exactly sure. I guess I need to watch some more videos and kind of figure out what... I know what you kind of can do with it. But more importantly, are individual people coming up with some really interesting uses for it? That's a good question. But it does come bundled with the stylus. At least the Surface Pro 3 does. So, but anyway, I really like this. You know what I got, and of course the newer is always going to be faster and, you know, what have you, but not necessarily. I don't know if I would necessarily consider the new model better per se. One of the things that if you buy something that's already been in production for a while, you're going to end up with probably a better experience overall, and it's less likely you're going to end up with problems. That's why I wanted to get a machine that had Windows 10 pre-installed, and so they've been doing that at least a month or two now. I don't know how long the Windows 10 actually been out, and so this one, if you read some of the stories online of people upgrading their machines, Surfaces as well as other computers, upgrade to Windows 10, and they're having problems sometimes with the thing seems to be overheating, or it's getting hot, or the battery, you know, they're having battery drain issues if it's a tablet. And in this case, it's already preloaded, and I'm reaching my hand back behind the tablet, you know, in between the, you know, and I'm not exactly sure where the processor is actually located at, but I'm feeling the back of the tablet, and it's not even, there's this one area where it's not even, it's just sort of warm. It's warmer than the rest of the tablet is. The rest of the tablet's kind of, I'd say, room temperature, and this one area is probably where a processor is, it's kind of warm, but not much, you know. There's just a few degrees warmer in that one area. So this is at least what I'm doing right now. And it's, of course, it's been running the entire time I've been making the recording and beyond. It's not causing any kind of overheating problem. So the, you know, so I'm happy with, you know, that's why I wanted to buy it with it pre-installed. It's always been my experience that the operating system that comes on the device is going to be, you're just going to end up with a better experience overall, even though upgrading, we've all done it. You know, upgrading is always problematic. So, I don't know. They're saying that this is the last version of Windows. So I guess maybe Microsoft is going to kind of do like Apple, and it's just going to be Windows 10, and then we're just going to keep getting new versions of it. Like OS 10, new versions. Windows 10, new versions. now, I did notice, I went ahead. That's another thing I really like about this, is that I can turn this thing off, and it turns off quickly. I mean, power it down, but I can power it back on, and it's up within about, I haven't actually timed it, but maybe within 10 seconds, maybe even less. And I can, and it's there, and it's already up, and it's open, and Windows is loaded from a standing start. It's really amazing. So that's one of the things I really, really like about this, is the fact that it's so quick. I was going to say something else, and then I kind of sidetracked myself. But if it's important, it'll come back to me. So overall, I'm pretty happy with what I got. And as I said before, I'm happy to have something that's already kind of in a production run. And people have had some pretty positive experiences with it. And I don't really have a problem moving back to Windows. I never, you know, stopped upgrading. I never used Windows 7, never used Windows 8 or 8.1. Kind of skipped those versions, but, otherwise, you know, I kind of moved into the Mac stuff, and but then the problem, as I said before, you know, the problem is that Apple has sort of left me behind, because I wanted to use that Ubercaster program. There's really no other program that I could find on Mac that would do anything remotely the way Ubercaster did, because Ubercaster kind of handled every aspect of recording a podcast. And even to the point of uploading it, and nobody else makes any. There's no other software that does that for OS X. You got to have, you know, three or four pieces of software to accomplish the same thing. And of course, Apple wants to keep pushing you forward. You know, you have to have the new version, and well, if the old version won't work, if the developer quits developing it, like the Ubercaster developer quit developing Ubercaster, too bad. You just have to move on, move forward. We've got to keep advancing. And so in the meantime, you got to keep opening your wallet and shelling out more money. And part of that, I realized, have you ever shopped? You go into a retailer. And it's true with all of the big box, so-called big box stores, Target, Best Buy, Walmart. Really, you know, Walmart is notorious. You go in, and you think you know where something is, and by golly, they've rearranged it. You know, they maybe there's some new things in there, but they've rearranged all the stuff. And why do they do that? Why do they keep rearranging things? And there's a really good scientifically psychological reason that they do that. And they found that if retailers have found that if they constantly rearrange things, that it forces you, as the consumer, it forces you to look, because you think you know where something's at, and then you got to start looking for it. And inevitably, you know what's going to happen? You're going to see something that you weren't expecting. And you're gonna end up sort of serendipitously running into something, and then you'll end up buying something other than what you intended to, along with whatever you intended to get. So they know that it increases sales. Because if they leave everything static right where it was, there's a good chance that you're just going to buy whatever you came in for, and that's that, and you're not going to buy anything else. But if they move it all around and you got to go digging and actually looking for something, you're going to buy, statistically, you will buy something more than what you intended to. So that's why they do it, and that's what Apple is doing with, you know, constantly kind of changing OS X and changing things around, and changing the iPhone and changing this and changing that. They're moving the merchandise around, kind of keep the customers, kind of force them along. You may grumble a little bit, but force them to keep opening their wallets and buying the shiny new thing. Because after all, they've rearranged things. And they've taken things away. And, you know, maybe added something, this or that, and taken other things away. And so what? If it's a useful thing, maybe you'll get over it. Or maybe, you know, if people protest enough, we might add it back. Because they've been known to do that, too. So, but that's the Apple way, quote unquote. So, anyway, I'm pretty happy with this, and like I say, I'm gonna be loading that BlueStacks program on here that gives me the ability to run Android stuff and have the Google Play Store, and put that on here, and that'll kind of give me some things. It'll give me the app experience, which. The app experience is good. The app experience is on a touchscreen, on a tablet device, and on the phone is great. But it's really more of a compliment. It's not the app experience is in my experience, the app running apps is not a replacement. Even though I tried to make it a replacement, it's not a replacement. For honest-to-God, full-blown productivity software. You know, if you're going to do real-world work on a computer, on a computing device, you've got to have the right kind of interface, which includes a mouse. You've got to have the right kind of software. You've got to have software that's actually capable of doing something, and so this Surface is really a great idea, because it takes the touchscreen tablet experience and kind of marries it together with the desktop and a real PC experience. So you got a real desktop computer, and you end up with, and Microsoft is really, I really believe they've nailed the touchscreen interface. They've gotten enough of the elements working that, you know, that kind of blend both things together. And, you know, as I say before, you know, who hasn't had the experience of trying to reach up on their non-touchscreen computer and try to pinch and zoom, and then you realize, uh-oh, what am I doing? That ain't going to work. So, with this experience, you know, I can either use the mouse, or I can, and I don't even have to think about it, or I can just reach up and touch the screen. I don't have to think about it, you know, so I do it either way. And, you know, and both of those movements can be kind of automatic. So, anyway, thank you, Joel, for the comment. Probably need to be cutting this off. See if I can get it uploaded and then get headed towards bed here in a while, although it's right now it's, what is it, 7:43 Central Time, so it would be 8:43 Eastern Time. But I had for a couple of days there, I was kind of turned backwards. One night I was up most of the night getting to Pennsylvania, and then I slept a couple of days in a row. I was sleeping kind of late into the morning or even into the early afternoon. So at this point, I probably am getting closer to being able to kind of get the thing turned back around. So, where I'm sleeping at night and awake in the daytime. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.